everybody, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Light broadcast, a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And this is our second hour broadcast here on bbsradio.com, and I am so grateful to be welcoming to our second hour in our exploration of consciousness, Mr. Ethan Fox. Welcome, Ethan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's really a pleasure. And Ethan brings to us a wealth of exploration in consciousness, being that the consciousness is itself the focus of your personal study, if I understand that correctly. Would you please share with us in your own words a little bit about your trajectory, your process in evolving your interest in consciousness? How do you define consciousness, and how did you find yourself in this study?
Well, that's a very, very long story, but I'll try to abridge it as much as I can. Consciousness, I think it's hard to define consciousness because each person is going to understand it differently based on their own consciousness. So I can explain consciousness to you, but every single person on the show is going to have a slightly different level of consciousness, and based on their level of consciousness, they're going to interpret my words in a different way. And so I find that consciousness is a very personal experience, and it will. So, for example, if you were to read a book, and 10 years from now your consciousness level had changed, you can read the same book and you'll find an entirely new meaning from it that you did not find before. The same words are there, but you are receiving information differently. So as a person's consciousness level changes, you can see it's sort of like a tuner in the body that is picking up different frequencies, and as the consciousness changes, it is receiving different information from the field of information that's around that person. So, but there are certain things that are consistent in terms of measuring consciousness. For example, the higher a consciousness a person has, the more they are focused on the needs of others versus their own needs. So lower consciousness people tend to be more concerned with their own personal needs, their own survival, making money for themselves and things like that, where higher and higher that goes, the less they're focused on those things and more they're focused on the well-being of others. Doesn't mean that they're not still interested in living in the world and making money and doing those sorts of things, but that is not the primary driving force of their life. So that is probably the one way that we can look at consciousness. Now, for me personally, it's been a lifelong journey. I have certain abilities with energy that enable me to raise the consciousness of individuals, and I've been doing this in groups of people for the past a little over a year now. I've been doing them in groups of people. And so I don't know if you wanted me to get into the process or did you want to go in a different direction with that, or do you have any thoughts?
Well, let's just take a step back a little bit and share some of your a wider breadth of your skills. You're also an astrologer and a numerologist, and have created a foundation, the Flower of Life. Is it an institution, an educational resource, a center for human evolution that is in service to the evolution of consciousness, specifically offering tools and resources to assist people in becoming proactive in their own process? And so I think it's worth it to share a little bit about the plethora of your skills in the studying of astrology and numerology, the two of them as a background for your, has it been a background? Let me ask you that. Has it been a background for your own personal growth in your own consciousness? Have those two sciences been tools for you in this process that led you to your gift in energy reading?
Well, I think the two are probably not directly connected, but probably the things that, if I look over my life, the one common thread that has been there for the past 20 years has been my interest in astrology and numerology, and probably not a day has gone by in that time when I did not spend time studying an astrology or numerology chart of somebody or even my own. So I have a really dense body of knowledge and understanding in cycles, and so I do have a perspective on where we are headed as a world in terms of from that vantage point. So it does figure quite prominently into my perspective. Now, the consciousness work that I do was something that I was born with. It's an ability that I had even at birth, and it's always been working in the background of my life experience without my being consciously aware of it. I only discovered about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that this had been happening my whole life. And then looking back upon my life, it made sense why I've had some very unusual experiences that I've had. So there is an energy or a consciousness that works through my physical body to elevate the consciousness of people around me, and it's always been there. It has always been functioning. Now I just am doing it more on purpose in group settings, and so the results have been much more dramatic, and my focus has really gone in that direction. But the two, I wouldn't say the two are really connected. The astrology and numerology give me a vantage point through which I look at the world and look at life experience and other people, and it's been invaluable. I mean, I can't even estimate the value of that knowledge and the understanding that it has given me into all aspects of life. And I've been in the business and financial arena in my life as well. Quite a bit, and I've used astrology and numerology to understand those areas as well. But I wouldn't necessarily put the two together. They're just two aspects of my experience. And also, you mentioned Flower of Life, our organization here. The organization and its various classes are really designed to help individuals to have tools and resources to live a more healthy, more fulfilling, happy life. So we've had different classes over the years, anything from Tai Chi, Qigong to I've taught astrology classes, and we've had Law of Attraction classes, and we have a raw food group that also meets, and lectures on health and longevity and so on are all aspects of what we do, and we've got some really big plans for the future as well, but primarily it's been education based. But in the future, we're planning on really building a community around the whole organization, so that people can support one another with with the different skills and talents and so on. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. So the numerology and the astrology is provided a context. Sort of a place for you to mm-hmm. view and explore. And then the energy work has developed into the focus and is something that you identify as part of who you are. And so I guess the connection mm-hmm. is that they're part of who you are. And beyond that,
right, yeah.
Not
right.
directly related. Would you like to share a little bit about that? And then very much we are here to celebrate the expo that you are promoting. Mm-hmm. Is that a product or a production of the Flower of Life, or is that an independent production?
Well, it was given birth to from the Flower of Life project, but it is an independent entity of its own. So But it's a larger expression of everything that Flower of Life stands for. Flower of Life is really more focused toward the day-to-day education and classes and experiences for individuals, where the expo is sort of the culmination of everything that is, but at a single event that encompasses a broad range of topics and material that we really wouldn't be able to include in a day-to-day type of production. So it's sort of, you could say Flower of Life gave birth to the Expo, but they're not really the same thing. One is inspired by the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Please share with us about your energy work and the capacity that you've become aware of. I'm very interested in how that works.
Mm-hmm. Well, about a year and a half, two years ago, I met this woman at one of our Flower of Life events. We had a raw food potluck, and she came to the event for the first time. One of her friends had invited her, and you're probably familiar with Edgar Cayce, and Cayce has written in some of his writings, he talked about how he perceived energy fields, and I'm surrounded by brilliant people in all different fields, from science to technology to psychics and intuitives and healers. And I'd never come across somebody who could see auras as well as Edgar Cayce could until I met this woman. Her name is Barb, and she came to one of our events. And before she left, she made it a point to comment that she had never seen an energy field as big as mine and the colors that she saw in the energy field. And so that got me to thinking about my life and some of the unusual things that had occurred over the years, and made me, and also one thing that I had been noticing at our Flower of Life events is that people would come and they were happier and happier every time they came, and I would hear quite often comments about how they were always so happy when they came to events and they went home, and that happiness lasted for several weeks and they couldn't wait to come back. And I dismissed it for a while as, well, maybe it's just food at the raw food potluck. And then it started happening at other events, like my astrology events, where we didn't serve any food.
And we are getting him back on the line. So he was sharing with us about his gift in discovering his capacity to basically to channel negative karma and allow the energy to heal and be released from groups of individuals. So he was sharing with us this process when he got cut off on the connection, and we are trying to find him, bring him back now. Is he back with us? Not yet. Okay. Well, I'm not sure. We'll get him back. So what his gift is to raise the consciousness of a group. Now he's able to tap into the negative karma and the energy and channel it and not be affected by it. So he's now offering this as a service in his plethora of services. And the expo he's creating is called Awake and Empowered Expo, Thriving in an Age of Higher Consciousness. And it's quite a lineup of fascinating speakers, scientists. It's a very wide, broad display, sharing from people in all walks of profound knowledge, from cosmology to science, basic science, to raw food. And I hear he's back. Are you with us again, Nathan?
Yes, I am. I don't know what happened there, but you know, Mercury's going retrograde soon, so it could very well be that.
Yeah, I read about that this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's coming up soon, but we're close enough now that the influence is going to start being felt. So I find that when you start getting close to the actual retrograde, you start having communication issues and technology issues and so on, and you definitely don't want to buy technology products during this time unless in the event that I've ever had to, I always buy an extended warranty because unavoidably something breaks. So not surprised. But anyway, I don't know at what point I dropped out because I kept talking, so you may want to just let me know and I can continue if you'd like.
Well, you were beginning to share with us about the learning of your capacity to lift energy, mm-hmm. and that you were noticing that it was also happening in your groups that weren't serving food, were in the raw food. Mm-hmm. You assumed the food had something to do with it. Then it was happening in astrology groups where there was no food being served, and then we lost you at that point.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we decided, I decided to do, as an experiment, to get a group of people together and see if I could raise the consciousness level of the entire group of people without actually touching anybody, and which I'd never done before in that way in the past. But looking over my life, it was obvious that that's been going on all along. And Barb was there to observe. And so she's been at almost every event that I've done in the past over a year now, and she's been observing the room, and she can actually see all the energy flying around the room. And one other thing that I can do is that's unique is that I can absorb the negative energy from people without affecting me adversely. A lot of people in energy healing and so on try to protect themselves when they're doing any kind of a healing, but my body has the protection already built into it, and so I don't need to do that. And so I can be in adverse environments around negative energy, and my energy field tends to attract the negative energy or karmic energy from others, and it sort of disintegrates as it hits my aura. And so Barb is there to observe this. And so what I do is I ask the individuals in the group to first to start to focus on worries and fears and negativity in their life or any difficult circumstances, or if nothing, then just ask their higher consciousness to release any karma and to send that to me at the center of the room where I'm sitting. And when Barb watches that, she can actually see all this very dark energy coming from everyone in the room, but as it hits my energy field, it disintegrates. And then at the same time, I send a consciousness-raising energy to every person as well. And so what she's been noticing is the people who have been attending our events regularly, their auras have expanded dramatically, and they have stayed expanded to where they are. Quite often, she says, when people first come, their energy fields are usually maybe 3-4 inches from their body at best, and those who are in poor health even less. But the ones who have been attending month after month, they now are walking in the room with their auras touching the ceiling or even beyond that. And so we've noticed that dramatic change. And one of the side effects of a raise in consciousness is an increase in happiness level. And that is something that everyone is reporting, that they can deal with stressful circumstances in their life better. They are much happier all the time, regardless of what happens in their life. And quite a few have had dramatic health breakthroughs and so on. That's not really an area where I focus my attention, but unavoidably, when you raise consciousness, you're also changing other elements in the physical body, so health changes will also occur. But primarily, it's been a change in health. And so my body is somehow able to remove this negative energy from other people when they can't deal with it on their own and get rid of it for them, and so they're lighter as a result, and their consciousness raises they're lighter because the karma's gone, and then we raise their consciousness using the energy, and so the combination of the two leaves them a little further along than when they walk in the door. So that's essentially what takes place there. And I mean, I can tell you stories from the past that illustrate how it works and why it works and so on. But those are the actual events that we've been doing since April of a year ago.
Well, I'm interested for a little more clarification regarding consciousness raising, and in the context of the context of a consciousness being unique to every individual, and then the connection to karma and consciousness. And could you clarify that a little bit? How is somebody's karma gone? How does raising energy, releasing negative energy, change karma? Does it actually change karmic patterns? Are these people stepping off into a whole new road of creation now? They've worked through all that they need to work through just by releasing this energy. Perhaps I'm not clear what the definition of karma you're using is.
Sure. Well, when I use karma as a word, I'm referring to, I see karma as a dense vibration of energy that we carry around in our energy field. And that energy could be the result of things that we've done in the past, whether there are negative actions or negative thoughts that we have done either in this or past life experiences. And so we're carrying that burden with us in our energy field. And you kick someone in the foot in a past life, and so someone has to kick you in the foot in this life to simplify the situation, which essentially karma is created through your negative actions or thoughts in the past or even in a parallel life. And so you have to deal with those experiences. And traditionally, that's been the case. If you create karma, you have to deal with that karma through your life experiences. But because we're in a time now of the rapid growth of consciousness on the planet, we are being given the opportunity to release this karma through other ways, because the consciousness of the planet as a whole needs to evolve a lot faster now, and so as a result, we can't be burdened by that. It's similar to how Jesus forgave the sins of the people of the earth. He took on that burden. And by taking on that burden, it caused the consciousness of the planet to grow and evolve at a faster rate, without which we would not have made it this far. So a sin is karma. And because we are in a time now of the rapid growth of consciousness, such a thing is again possible to do. And that is essentially what is happening. So a person can surrender that energy that they themselves created through their experience or through collective karma they might have created, and they don't have to deal with it now. They can surrender that and accelerate their growth process, where ordinarily it might take them a lifetime or many lifetimes to move past those karmic blocks that they have previously taken on. So that's what I'm referring to when I'm using the word karma. And it's not something that has been possible in the past because it wasn't supposed to be possible. You know, it wasn't something that was available to us, but now it is. So I guess you could say, yes, their lives are not rewritten in the sense that we all come here to have a certain experience, and an astrology chart, for example, will tell you a great deal of what that experience is meant to be. Those experiences will still be there. But let's say, for example, we take two identical people, and one has a lot of karma and the other one has very little. And they were both born on the same day and they're both the same person, so they're going to have the same life experience. The difference is the person with a lot of karma will go through the same life experiences as the other person, but they will suffer more. You know, they may both have difficult things happen in their life, but karma has a way of weighing down your life experience and your experience of your life. And whereas if we remove that, you may still have the same things happen in your life that you came here to experience, but you will experience them from a higher vantage point. You will experience much more joy and happiness in your life, you will be less resistant to life experiences than a person with more karma. So that's how it changes your experience. And in some cases, it may redirect your life a little bit, but overall, your life will, for the most part, stay on course for whatever it is you came here to experience. Does that explain that a little bit better?
Well, yeah, now I understand it a whole lot better. So it's like the forgiving of an emotional debt. And pardon me for just a second, my neighbor has decided to fix their car. So I'm going to close my window, and it's going to make just a little bit of racket here while I close the window.
Okay.
And that's going to help me hear you better. Sorry about that. But I didn't put the word out to the neighborhood, I guess, as well, but no matter. I understand clearly now. It's the idea of clearing an emotional debt. And I would like you very much to share about this time that we're in, and please elaborate with the astrological understanding that you have as well. I've had similar experiences, and I wonder also if you could talk about the part of the responsibility that the one releasing the karma is then asked to offer, because it seems to me that the people that are able to release, to forgive themselves, might reap more benefit from a service like that. Can you share about your thoughts on that?
The people who are able to release their karma might get more benefit from what kind of service? I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, I'm understanding that the service that you're offering is a conduit for releasing karma.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being what I would call or clarify as a releasing of emotional baggage, if you will, or an opportunity for forgiving emotional debt, if you will, or a place to make a shift in your emotional reality that might free you up to allow a new perspective to enter and to operate on a lighter plane of existence, that your misery would be less, your suffering would be less, your health would improve overall. Mm-hmm. Am I understanding that?
Yes, yes, essentially. I mean, you're releasing not only emotional baggage, but energetic baggage that is weighing down your life experience. I can tell you a little story from the past that I tell quite often that sort of illustrates the point really well. And there was a woman who I met about 16 years ago now, and this is the first recollection that I have that when I became aware that this was actually happening. It has always been happening. I just never realized it was happening. But this is the first time first story that I can tell that illustrates it well. When I met her, and this is somebody who I had a very close soul tie with, and when I met her, she had told me that she had this dream her entire life, that as far as she could remember, of where it was a very violent nightmare that she had, and a reoccurring nightmare that was ongoing. And when I showed up in her life, when we met, I started appearing in this nightmare with her, except I rescued her from this situation. Now, we didn't really know what that meant at the time, but on one particular occasion, she and I had gotten together, and I was doing some energy healing work at the time on a mutual friend, and so we met up that particular night, and I felt like I needed to do something with her that night, but she didn't want me to do it, and so I gave her a hug, and in the hug, something transferred from her to me, and I at the time it was I didn't fully understand what was going on, and But it just felt like I was just covered in this very, very dark, heavy, dense energy. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew enough that I needed to leave because I didn't want anybody else to get it, whatever it was. And so I went home, and this was in the middle of summer. It was very hot, and I was ice cold in my car driving home because of whatever this was. And I went home, and I had my own nightmares that night, which had never happens to me, but I did that night. And the next morning I woke up, and whatever it was had gone. And replaced with that feeling was a feeling of absolute bliss, which at that stage of my life I had never experienced before. And it lasted for about a day and a half, this feeling. And it didn't come back until about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I had it, and it lasted for about 6 months. And that was really my reawakening that brought me down this journey to where I am now. But what happened to her was, after that experience, that nightmare that she had been having her whole life went away. It never came back. And so I realized now, looking back, that what happened was there was something she was carrying with her on her energy body that she could not deal with, that she it might have been a childhood trauma, it might have been a past life experience that really actually happened that this dream was about, that she had carried with her and that she was suffering through in this lifetime. And for whatever reason, I could take that from her where she couldn't actually get rid of it on her own. And so she is now free of that, and she is lighter and better because of it, and I was able to get rid of it for her. And the next day, the state of bliss that I experienced was, at the time it occurred to me that this was just, in a way, sort of like a compensation for what had happened, and also an indication of where I was going in my life, you know, if I kept on this path, and which is, in fact, really what happened. And a year and a half or so, 2 years ago, when that state of bliss returned in my life, it was the catalyst. It was the beginning of this new journey where I fully embraced these gifts and abilities that I have, and decided that I was going to take this on a much larger scale and start working with groups of people doing that. So that's, you know, that's should illustrate what's actually taking place a little bit better, I think.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that actually helped a lot. The example really helped a lot. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Sure.
That's really quite fascinating. And the whole part of the self-discovery and then coming to terms and then choosing to share and really just let the world have this gift is really a great sharing. I really appreciate that. And then the process of exploring how you might share it, this evolved in the expansion of your services. And is this when Flower of Life was born, or was Flower of Life already with us?
Well, actually, Flower of Life was born, right around that same time, as in its form that is today. I had for a number of years an astrology group that was meeting in a raw food potluck separately, and they were just two separate groups of people who got together. And when this whole awakening happened for me a couple of years ago, is when I decided, okay, I'm going to combine these groups and add more classes and programs and call it Flower of Life. And then soon afterwards, the concept for the conference, the expo, came into being as well. So yes, that 6 months of being in that state of joy and bliss really ushered in all of the things that I'm involved with now, which are expanding and growing in very, very dramatically now.
What do you experience is the connection between joy and creativity?
You're talking about that state of bliss. What is that like?
Well, in that, the connection to the creative spark there, is that soul? Is that what you would call soul, the connection to who we really are and what we really came here to be? Because it seems that at this time a lot of people are asking that question. And You're a great example of following your bliss and then the road opening. And so I just wonder if that's how you might define it, or the connection between that bliss and the creativity and the soul path of, you know, really just knowing that this is what I'm here to do.
I see. I understand. Okay. So the state of bliss is, it's sort of like trying to, you know, to explain bliss is trying to explain consciousness. There are no words to explain bliss. When you experience it, you'll know that you're experiencing it. But to try to explain to another person what it's like, you can't find words to define something like that. But I can tell you that when you're in that state, you don't care about the silly little things that we care about in our day-to-day existence. None of that really matters anymore, because you understand everything that, you know, you understand that your life is in perfect balance exactly where you are, and it doesn't really matter, because you experience such a state of joy for whatever your life is. And your senses become heightened. Colors become more vivid. You know, when you're outside, everything looks more brighter, and the sounds and the smells are just more pleasurable. You know, and it is it's a heightened state of awareness that you experience. But what I can say is, in terms of discovering your own journey and why you're here, the thing that we don't realize, and this is really a factor of the level of karma that you have, and the level of karma that a person carries with them is also directly related to the level of ego that the person has. The more karma you have, the more ego you have. So the less karma you have, the less your ego has a hold on you. And it is the ego that is the reason why so many of us are running around wondering what is our purpose and trying to discover what that purpose is, when, in fact, everyone is already living their purpose. And when you move that ego out of the way, you come to the realization that you're already on the perfect journey that you were always meant to have. There are no mistakes in your life. Everybody is exactly where they need to be, and tomorrow they'll be exactly where they need to be. We always meet whoever we're meant to meet along the journey. We made up all those decisions before we came here. But the reason so many of us are questioning and doubting our journey and trying to figure out what is our true purpose is because the ego is in control quite often. And so when you raise consciousness, ego has less and less control. And so what happens, and in the experiences that I had with the blissful moments that I've had in the past, what happens is the ego becomes less in control, and suddenly you realize the journey that was always going to be anyway. And so it becomes just a process of walking the path that is already in front of you and trusting that that is the path. And so for everybody out there who is trying to figure out why they're here, there's nothing really to figure out. But to the extent that the ego is in control of your life experience, you will doubt that. You will doubt, and you will be searching for that path that is, you know, that is yours. And that's, you know, a lot of the reason and a lot of the outcome that we get from from the consciousness events that I do, is that we raise the consciousness and we take the ego out of the driver's seat a little bit each time. And each time we do that, happiness just naturally comes along. People start to see the joyful things in their life, and they start to just harmonize with their life experience. They find happiness in whatever it is that they're doing. Life may not necessarily change, and and suddenly some profound awareness comes to them as to what they should be doing, but they start to just fall into harmony with what was already going to be. So as far as me following my path and all the things that I've been doing ever since my reawakening a couple of years ago, it really isn't a matter of, it isn't that the awakening caused me to do these things, but the awakening caused me to allow these things to just happen without struggling, without trying to figure it out, without worrying whether it was going to work out or not. So, you know, that's what I would say is as your consciousness grows in you, and it will, because we are in a time when it's going to grow anyway. It's just, if you come to an event like that I have, and there are many other spiritual teachers out there who are raising consciousness, if you take a more conscious approach to the raising of your consciousness, you're going to move along a little bit faster and with less suffering. And that is the advantage to doing this sort of thing proactively. But even if you didn't, everyone is going to wake up on the planet. The thing is, if you don't choose to consciously do it, you'll suffer more. I mean, that's why so many people who are suffering in the world right now, because the majority of people are resisting this transition that is going to happen anyway. Awakening is going to happen in everyone. They don't, you know, we don't have a choice in that, because the planetary consciousness is expanding and growing. So if you're going to stay here, you're going to have to wake up. But to the extent that you choose to do so willingly, is the extent to which you will do it with more harmony and with less suffering. Ultimately, we are all, as the world, heading that way. And there are so many signs of that in every aspect of our lives. And that's really why our conference, our expo, exists, to bring the awareness of the fact that this is happening on all levels of our society. We're trying to bring that awareness to the public so that everybody can see that.
Well, let's go to the expo. That is mm-hmm. a phenomenal event you have planned in Detroit in October. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and this plethora of voices from different walks of life and expertise that are bringing us all the signs of our evolving reality here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would take me an hour just to really do it justice, but I can give you an overview. What we endeavor to do is to bring together all of the amazing things that are happening in every aspect of our society, from science to genetics to technology to spirituality to health and healing. And so we have some really incredible presenters in all of those fields. To give you a couple of examples, we have a scientist coming from Russia, and he is a highly respected physicist in the area of torsion field, torsion physics, and he is working on, to give you an example, one of the devices that he has built is a propulsion engine that for space propulsion systems that requires no conventional fuel, and it doesn't actually use propulsion in the conventional system. Like we have rockets that burn fuel and they move by pushing up against the air underneath them. Well, his engine doesn't actually push up against anything. It actually relocates in space so it moves through space without actually pushing up against anything, and it does not use any conventional fuel that burns. So it can essentially run forever in space without having to rely on what we conventionally view as propulsion systems. And so that same technology can be implemented in a variety of different areas. Another thing he's working on, he has carried forward the work of Nikola Tesla, and he has working free energy devices, and so that is viable. And so now we have the technology, and he told me the last time I talked to him that he's not as far advanced as some people we have even in America in the area of free energy technology. There are people even in the U.S. who are a little bit beyond what he has developed. But the point is that this technology is viable. Of course, it's been viable for a long time. It's just it's been suppressed from the mainstream public, but now it is starting to emerge into the public. And so, you know, these are real things that we're going to have available to us. So I imagine a world where our cars and everything can be powered without using combustion fuels. And essentially they can run forever without ever needing to refuel. This is real technology now. He's also been experimenting with teleportation technology, and it's not anything that is, at least what he's been working on, is not something that is usable at this point, but they are able to transport particles from one place to another by moving through space-time, by creating tiny wormholes. So you know, it is not going to be long before we can develop that further to actually use it in practical uses. One of the other things he's demonstrating on stage is he's built a little device that allows him to move objects with his mind, so he's going to be able to demonstrate telekinesis on stage. So the him alone, I mean, some of the incredible things he's doing in all these different fields are really incredible. We have a second Russian scientist who is Peter Garyaev, who some people may know. David Wilcock wrote about him in his book Source Field Investigations. And Peter's working in a field he calls linguistic wave genetics. And to give you an example, one of his experiments, he used a laser beam frog eggs into the eggs of a salamander, which is like a little lizard. And essentially what he was trying to do is he was trying to transmit the genetic information from the one species to the other. And when the lizard eggs hatched, they were actually frogs, and they were perfectly healthy. They mated. And so he was able to transmit the genetic data, essentially, from one species to another. And he's been able to regrow organs inside of in animal experiments. He's been able to, by accident, treating a woman for fibromyalgia, regrew her teeth. So, and in my conversation with him, I asked him, well, does this mean that humans will be able to live forever? And he said, well, no, but in 10 years, we will be able to bring products to market that will enable people to live easily 800-900 years in perfect health if they want to. And so this is real science now that is coming to our world. And, you know, just between those two scientists alone, you can imagine what sort of impact that's going to have on our way of life and our society in a very, very short period of time. And they're not the only ones, but they are just two examples of some of the incredible breakthroughs that are happening in the world. A third person I can we have a guy, his name is Lloyd Meir. He's hardly known, but he's working in a field of vibrational medicine, and what he's doing is going to completely change healthcare treatment of illness in the future. He's an older guy, and he uses a dowsing rod to intuit information on different people. And so he can, and what he receives is a frequency number. And so he can, so let's say somebody comes to him, he'll use his dowsing rod and he'll be able to figure out what exactly is wrong in their body. And sometimes he can even tell illnesses that may happen 10 years from now. So if you have a potential for getting a certain kind of cancer, he can see that potential in your body because that frequency is missing. And he says basically every human body has a number of different frequencies, and when certain frequencies are missing, it'll lead to a certain kind of an illness. And so once he figures out what frequencies are missing, he can give you those frequencies, and he gives them to you as an 11-digit number. And you simply need to read this number in your head, and quite a number of people have experienced complete healing within two minutes of just reading these numbers seven times over in your head. And essentially what you're doing is you're replacing this frequency into the body that is missing. And so I've heard stories about a guy who his Parkinson's disease was cured within 2 minutes. A friend of mine, he had a vision problem, was cured within 2 weeks, and he'd been going the conventional and the holistic route for a long time with no success. A friend of mine just went to see him the other day, and she had had this pain in her body for about 7 years, and it went away within a couple of minutes. And that was the first time in that whole period of time. And so there are remarkable stories like this, and that he, you know, that he is, and he produces consistent results. It's not like it's a fluke and every once in a while it works. His results are consistent, they're reliable, they're repeatable, and so it seems like there is not an illness that he cannot treat. He's been able to treat just about everything, and so he's putting together this book of different frequencies, and right now he's trying to teach as many people as he can to use this system to treat other people. And so you can see where this is going. Now he's one of the new things he's working on is he's trying to figure out the frequencies of every single herb. And so let's say you want to take a certain kind of herb to treat a particular illness, you'll no longer need to have the herb. All you need to know is the frequency number. And by repeating that frequency number in your mind, you get all the benefits of the herb. So you don't need to keep it on your shelf. And, you know, if it gets old and its potency gets weaker over time, the frequency number will contain the maximum potency of that herb forever. And so you can imagine what sort of impact that will have. We no longer will have to have disease. We'll be able to treat an illness without a nutritional supplement, without pharmaceutical drugs, without going to a doctor, unless you, you know, sever your arm off and you need to have it sewed back on. We no longer will need to do that. That is viable and it's real today. And he's not the only one working in similar fields. Another woman who's also going to be at our expo who is using sound frequencies to produce the same results. And she has cured so many different illnesses that are technically incurable. And in fact, she's been able to change using frequency, even change the shape of people's faces and hair color and regrow hair, just interesting things like that. So
that's really fascinating. And I don't mean to cut you off, but we've got a couple of minutes left. So please tell us the website for the expo is awakeandempoweredexpo.com, and we can learn more about the Flower of Life work that you're doing at theflowerofLifeCenter.org, and then to learn more about your personal work and the astrology, numerology, and more about your personal services, we can go to ethanfox.com. And Ethan is spelled with two N's, ethanfox.com. And I really apologize. I didn't mean to just cut you off like that, but we,
it's okay.
we have to jump in just a couple of minutes here, and I want to be sure we have a proper close as well. So we are listening here to Alchemy of Light, and I'm Jimmy O'Graham, your host, and we're interviewing Ethan Fox, and he is sharing with us about the Awake and Aware Expo and the fantastic show of our evolution that is everywhere. And these people and these sciences and everything, everywhere you look, when you look for those signs, are everywhere. I'm hearing these same things in different parts of the world, and it is such an exciting time to be alive and to be sharing this phenomenal it's like a big wave is coming over all of us, and no matter what it is that it looks like, it's healing. It's the universe at work, you know, and it's a beautiful time. And so I want to offer you the final word, and before I pass the baton back, I just want to offer thank you very much for joining us And thank you to BBS Radio, and thank you to the ancestors who have walked before us and who are joining us now, and to all of our friends in spirit that have joined us as well for this Alchemy of Light broadcast. And I want to pass it back to you. Please offer us a very brief note of inspiration or whatever you feel would be appropriate at this time for your closing.
Sure. Well, I want to get back to what I said earlier, because I think it's really important, and every time it seems to really strike a nerve with everyone that I say this to, because like we were talking earlier, everybody, we're all searching for our path and so on. And what I want to leave everyone with is that you're exactly where you need to be in your life. Your life is in perfect divine order, and there is a higher power that is always guiding your way. And it's not possible to make mistakes and miss out on opportunities, because the things that are meant for you will always be given to you. So that's, you know, that's my advice to everyone. Don't worry. Everything will work out, and you will end up where you need to be.
That is great. That is great. Excuse me, the whole point being to just find your bliss where you're at.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining us.
Sure.
And
thank you.
I'm very excited about this expo and the work that you're doing to bring this to all of us, and we are all in this together. So I'm Jamil Graham. We are signing off here for this week's broadcast of Alchemy of Light. And thank you again, Ethan. Until next time, to all the listeners, thank you very, very much for joining us. And please take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. Until next time. Bye-bye.